The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Vayakel. In the middle of Parashas Vayakel, Perek Lamed Ches Posuk Ches, the Torah is telling us how they made all of the various articles and needs for the Mishkan, for the sanctuary. It states, Vayas Esakior Necheshes Veskane Nechoshes. They made the copper fountain and its copper stand, its base, Bemares Hatsevos Ashetzovu Pesach Oel Moed, with the mirrors, the copper mirrors that were brought to the gate, to the opening of the Oel Moed. The Ohel Moed here can refer to one of two things. It can refer to the sanctuary itself, or since the sanctuary wasn't not put up yet, because they made all of these articles before, it can refer to the tent of Moshe, where people would come to meet. Now firstly, what was this fountain? At the beginning of Parshas Kisiso, Perek Lamed Posuk Yud Ches, it states, V'osiso kio nechoshes v'chane nechoshes. You shall make a copper fountain and a copper base for it, lerochetzo, for washing. Benosata also bein ohel moed uvein amizbeach. And you shall place it in the mishkan, in the sanctuary, between the kodesh and the altar. Benosata shomoyim, and there shall be water there. You shall place water there. Verochetzo arin uvonav mimenu. And Aaron and his sons, the Kahanim, should wash themselves, Eshedehem Vesraglehem, their hands and their feet, Bevam Elo El Moed, Yerchatsu Maim Veleyamusu. They are required to wash themselves, their hands and feet, before they would go into the Kodesh, into the holy part of the Mishkan, lest they should die. Ovegishto Malamazbeach, Veshores Lahakti Rishel Hashem. Or, when they go to the altar, which was outside of the Kodesh, to serve Hashem, to bring the fires, the sacrifices to Hashem, v'rochatzu yedem v'ragleim v'leyamusu, and there they shall wash their hands and feet, the feet, and lest they should die, v'hoyisalem chokolom leilazari ledorosom, and this shall be a statute for they and their descendants for all generations. So this was for the purpose, the Gemara says, Kiddush Yodayim Reglayim. They would sanctify their hands and feet before going into the sanctuary, to the Kodesh, or before approaching the Mizbeach, the altar. Now, the words Tzovaos, Tzovaos, Tzovu, which is used twice in this posuk, is a word which is difficult to translate, because generally, a tzavah means a great gathering, great congregation, great masses. For example, we say the tzvah shamayim, all of the stars and the celestial bodies, which are like the armies of Hashem. Or we say the tzvah, asar tzvah, he's a general of a great army. Or Hashem tzvokes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his myriads of followers. So what does it mean here? The Gurai explains, Lefi Pshuta, according to the simple sense of the Posuk, it means here that the mirrors, the copper mirrors, were brought Kitzvo Godel Shel Esem Hanoshim Heviu LeMishkan. The copper mirrors were brought by the great numbers of women, and they were brought in these great numbers and left before the tent of Moshe. The women came, all of them, and they brought all of their copper mirrors, and they piled them up in front of the tent of Moshe. So this is what it means, that the fountain and its base was made from the copper mirrors, which the women brought in great multitudes. They themselves brought in great multitudes and piled them all off of Pesach HaOmoed in front of Moshe's tent. This is the simple meaning of the posuk. Rashi brings a medrash. He says, "Benosh Yisrael hoya biyodin maris." The daughters of Israel, they had mirrors. Shereis behen kishem iskashtes. And when they would ornament themselves, make themselves beautiful, they would look into these mirrors. Be'af osan le'ik from Elohavi le'nidves hamishkon. And these, which were very dear and precious to them, they also did not withhold from the contributions to the needs of the sanctuary. Therefore, they brought him to Moshe. Moshe did not want to accept them because he said, these are made for purposes of vanity. And what kind of place will these mirrors have in the sanctuary?
Hashem told Moshe, take them, accept them.
These mirrors are more precious to me than all of the gold and the silver and everything else that's coming for the Mishkan.
Shall Yedeim emidu anoshim tzevos rabbis b'mitzrayim.
Because through these mirrors, the great masses of children and generation were produced by the women, utilizing these mirrors. And that's what the word tzevos means here. The copper mirrors, which through them the women produced great hosts, great congregations, masses of young children.
And the Medrash explains, Kishoy ba'aleim yigiyom ba'averis perach.
The men had to labor in the fields, slave labor, the entire day. And when they would come home, they would be totally fatigued.
So Yehochis u'melichis lehem maichol u'mishte. The women would go and they would bring them food to eat and drink. U'machiles seisom. And they would give them to eat. V'neitlei samareis.
And then they would take the mirrors.
V'chol achas reya atzmeim balo.
And they would look into the mirrors together
with their husbands. And
they would tell their husbands that I am more beautiful than you are.
And
through this, they would arouse their husband's interest. And through this, great myriads of children were born in Egypt.
And then Rashi brings the pasuk Tachas HaTapuach Eidev Sicho.
This is what it means, that under the trees I aroused you. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, these mirrors are very, very important. Do not reject them. Take them. And use them specifically. Use them dafka for the kiyur mekameh, for the fountain. Why?
Mishuhu lasum sholom bein ish l'ishtoi. Lahashke is mimayim shebesechei l'mi shekino l'baylo v'nishtoro.
Because there was a law that if a man became jealous of his wife, he suspected her of being disloyal, and he had certain grounds for this, then he would separate himself from her. But one of the ways in which she could prove her innocence would be through the waters of these fountains, of this fountain. So therefore the purpose of the fountain
One of its purposes was Lasum Sholem Bein Ish L'Ishta, to unite a woman with her husband. And since the mirrors initially were used for this purpose, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Almighty said, take it and use it for the fountain and its base. And that is what is meant, Asher Atzovos, Asher Tzovu Pesach Oel Moed, the mirrors which produced great masses of children in the desert by through the women. Rashi brings this from Medrash Reb Tanchuma. We have in our Medrash Reb Tanchuma, not in Parshas Vayakel, but in Parshas Pekudei, in Os Tes, we have a similar drosha, but with a number of differences. Firstly, it brings Atomeitze b'shosho Yisrael b'avedis perek b'mitzrayim, that when Klal Yisrael, when they were enslaved with a labor which was breaking them, back-breaking labor in Egypt, goza aleihem parei shle yeshenim beisehem, shle yeshiyu mishamshin mitoseihem. Now parei was interested, as the Torah tells us, in population control by Klal Yisrael. He was very concerned and very afraid that they were multiplying too fast, and he was afraid they would gain control of Egypt. And therefore he was very concerned in this population control. So one of the decrees that he made was that the men were not allowed to sleep in their homes. Omer Reb Shimon ben Chalafto, Mahu hayu b'nei Yisrael osos. The daughters of Israel, on the other hand, they were concerned with the population growth. They wanted Klal Yisrael to become bigger and better. So what did they do? They would be Yodas Lishav Mayim Min HaYor. They would go down to the river to draw water. Ba'akodesh Baruch Hu HaYomaz Min Lahem Dogim Ktanim B'Sei Kadehem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make sure that when they drew the water, they would also draw a lot of small fish from the river. And some of these fish they would cook, others they would sell. And the leches men yain, and they would buy wine and other good things with it. The holches lesoda, and they would go out to the field. Umachileches balehem. And there they would give to eat and drink their husbands. Mishaechli v'sheisin, when they would finish eating and drinking, neitlei samares u'mabites behenim ba'alehem, they would take these mirrors out and they would look into the mirrors together with their husbands. Zei semeres ani noeh mimecho v'zei marani noeh mimech. She would say, I am more beautiful than you, and he would say, I am more handsome than you. And through this they would arouse their interests, and through this they would have children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked an altar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle where the children would the whole birth would be a miraculous type of birth. Here's where the Medrash says that some said that they would give birth two at a time. Others say six at a time. Others say 12 at a time, because the growth rate, if you would calculate the growth rate, when they came down to Egypt, they came down as a family of 70 people, the house of Yaakov. And when they left Egypt, later on they were there 210 years. And when they left Egypt, they were 600,000 men went out. That's besides the women and the children and the men over 60. And 4/5 remained in Egypt. Only 1/5 went out. So it could only be possible through an enormously miraculous birth rate. Behold, Haminyan, or Elamina Marsh. And this all came through the mirrors. Uksiv behen vatimolei ha'oretz osam. Because she'yano esei kein yebe v'chein yifreis. B'shus eisein hamaris. They filled up the land, and the more they were afflicted, the more they grew, and it was the schus, the merit of these mirrors. She'yamaris le'ba'alein u'ma'agilei se'son yidei taiva. When years later they went out of Egypt and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to make a sanctuary, Omdu kol Yisrael min isnadvum, so all of Israel immediately came and they brought their donations, Mishevi Kesev, Mishevi Zov, Mishevi Nocheshet, Vavni Shehev, Vavni Meluy. This one brought gold, another silver, copper, precious stones, and Hevil b'zrizus hakol, and they brought it quickly. Omru anoshim, ma yesh lonu lita im benin b'sa mishkon. So the women said, what can we give? Everything is being given already. Omdu ve'evia samaris v'holchul en etzel meisha. So they came, all of them, and together with their mirrors, and they went to the tent of Moshe. Kishoro meisha iso namare zof behem. When Moshe saw what they were bringing, he became angry. He said, "Amaras lo mehin srichim? How can you bring these mirrors, which are made for the purpose of vanity and other such reasons, how can you bring them to the sanctuary, which is Kodesh Kadoshim, the Holy of Holies?" Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, "Al elu atom evaze." These you are disgracing. You are playing down. It was through these mirrors that the entire Tzavos, the entire myriads of the Bnei Yisrael were produced in Egypt. Tul mehem. Take them. And make the fountain and the base for the kahanim shemimenu yem is katshin ha-kahanim. Midrash gives another term. It doesn't give the reason to make peace between man and wife like the Midrash Rashi brings, but for the other reason, the other purpose, because it was to sanctify the kahanim. And that is what is stated here. There's another Gemara, which is similar, but still different, which doesn't speak directly about the mirrors. That's a Gemara in Masechet Sota. The Gemara says in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Dorash Rabavira, Rabavira Darshan expounded. Some have the girsa, the text Dorash Rabakiva. Bishar Noshim Chitkonia, Shohoyeba Esidor, Hador, through the merit of the righteous women, which were in that generation, the generation in Egypt. Nigualu Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Israel were redeemed from Egypt. So brings a similar story, that when they would go down to draw water, so they would catch a lot of fish with the water, and then they would cook it, and they would prepare food and so forth, and then they would bring it, etzel ba'aleim lasode, they would bring it out to the field where their husbands were, and there umalchitzei seison, v'sakei seison, they would wash their husbands, and anoint them, and feed them, and give them to drink. And then, actually here it doesn't bring about the mirrors, but there they would refresh their husbands and arouse their interests, and it was through this that the Dor HaMidbar, the generation which was to go out of Egypt into the desert, was born. And it brings that this door, the Chazal, the sages in many, many places, writes that the door Hayetzim Mimitzrayim, generation that went out of Egypt, was an extraordinarily great generation. Dor HaMidbar. Where did it come from? It says it came from these women. And these were the ones that, the fact is, then they would return to their houses, and when it came time to give birth, they would go back out into the fields to give birth in order that the Egyptians would not be able to find them. And these children were saved through miracles. Kohen Baruch Hu would send angels to keep them. And these were the children that when they grew up and they went out of Egypt on the Yam, on the sea, they said, Zeh Kelev Yamvehu, this is my God and I shall beautify him, because they recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they were brought up through HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his angels. So the Medrash, the Gemara here tells us that Biskus Noshim Tzikonia Shehoyu Be'esedor Nigolu Yisrael Mimitzrayim, that it was through the merit of these righteous women that Klal Yisrael was redeemed from Egypt. Now, what do we see from all of this? We see three things. Firstly, we see how dear it is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the unity and the loyalty between a man and his wife. And this is the Medrash that we read from the Medrash Tanhuma. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, take these mirrors and use them for the fountain. The purpose of the fountain, as we read in the beginning of Parshas Kisiso, is stated that was the source for the Tara and the Kedusha of the Kohanim. The source of the purity and the sanctity of the Kohanim, which enabled them to go and approach the Mizbeach, the altar. Before, the purpose of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary, was to bring the korbanos, lechaper, to bring the sacrifices to atone on Yisrael. But you do not go to the altar just like that. You need a hachono. There has to be preparation. And therefore the Kohanim were commanded, begishtei, as they approached the altar, first they must have kiddush yadayim reglaim. They must sanctify themselves. Where did the sanctity come from? It came from the fountain and its water. This was your source to prepare the Kohanim to the level of the Tahara and Kedusha, the purity and the sanctity, which would bring them to the Mizbeach and the Oil Maid. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that he wants made from these mirrors, because it was these mirrors that brought the unity between a man and his wife. So we see how precious the loyalty and the unity of a man and his wife is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he said these mirrors that were, they were instrumental, with them build the Kiyor Vakanai. Secondly, we see how precious it is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shalom Bayis, that there should be a total oneness and peace between man and his wife. Because according to the Medrash Rashi brings, the reason why it was chosen for the Kiyor Vakanai, because that a second purpose of the fountain was that it would bring peace between man and his wife when there was a suspicion cast over his wife and no longer did he want her anymore. She could prove her innocence through these waters and be reunited with her husband. Then thirdly, we see how it's dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the growth, the population growth of Klal Yisrael. When he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said to Moshe,
These mirrors you are disgracing. It was through these mirrors that Ha'amidu Tzavos Rabbis, that they brought up generations that became the generation that was to go out from Egypt. So how it is dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mitzvah pruvu of having children and bringing up great numbers. There's a fourth thing we also see. Actually, we can ask a kasha. That's the question on this Gemara that we quoted in Sota. The Gemara says, "Bishus noshim tzikonias, or bishar noshim tzikonias, nigolu Yisrael mitzrayim." It was through this, their merit, that they were redeemed from Egypt. We read the story. But how does this fit into the fact that it was their merit that they were redeemed? The generation was redeemed. The story merely tells us that it was through them that a generation was born. But what does that have to do with the fact that they were redeemed? It says, "Bishar noshim tzidkoniyais, nigolu eisedor mimitzrayim." That generation was redeemed from Egypt. They produced many children. But why did that cause redemption? We could possibly say an answer that Klal Yisrael was not ready to go out of Egypt until they reached a certain number. And that number was reached because of these women. And therefore, they had the merit. We could possibly say like that. But the Maral says more. He says the Gemara is explaining to us not merely quantity, it's explaining quality. The number that was brought into the world in Egypt was great quantity, like we learned. They gave birth 2 at a time, 6 at a time. But also it was the quality of what the Chazal always referred to as the Dor Yetzi Mitzrayim, or the Dor Amibor, the generation that went out of Egypt, the generation of the desert. That was one of the greatest generations that ever existed in the history of the world. That was the generation that was to go to Har Sinai and receive the Torah. And the Maral explains that slavery is only by something which is very physical. But something which is above the physical, slavery is not possible. For example, we see the way the Almighty created the world. An animal becomes the servant and the slave to the human being who's his master. And that's because the animal is far more physical than the master. He does not have the intellectual or spiritual heights of the master. Therefore, it's possible slavery. The reason why Klal Yisrael went free from Egypt is because they rose to great heights beyond the physical level, to the point where the Egyptian taskmasters no longer could be masters over them. And that's what caused the Geula, that is what caused the redemption and the Exodus. And as we see that when they went out, they destroyed Egypt and they ruled even over the sea. Now, who produced that nation? He says, that's what the Gemara is telling us. That was the nation which said, Zekeli van Vehu, they pointed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they said, we know him. Who produced this nation were these women. So the Gemara is telling us something else. Not only with these mirrors did they produce a nation of great numbers, but a nation of unequaled quality and of unequaled height. And that also was because of their great desire to produce such
people, such individuals, and their great desire and loyalty to their husbands and to the sanctification of their homes. As it states that in during the entire generations in Egypt, there was never any disloyalty amongst the women of Israel. There was one single incident, and even that incident was basically done because of error. So, there are a number of things that we can learn from that it states, Vayase Sakir Nehoshes, Veskane Nehoshes, Bemare Satsovos, Ashatsovu Pesach Oel Moed. That the Kior, the fountain, was to be made by the mirrors which they brought in, the great numbers of women brought to the sanctuary, and it was through these mirrors that great number of lives were born into Israel. Excuse me. But aside from all of this, there is something else that is brought very much to the fore here. And that is general opinion amongst the populace, both men and women, is that women, when it comes to importance, when it comes to doing important things, when it comes to roles of leadership, general opinion is that women are far inferior to men. Women do not like to accept this. In our generation, we've seen all types of movements that want to stay contrary to that. But this, nevertheless, is the general accepted opinion. When it comes to doing unimportant things, we have women for that. When it comes to doing what's really important, when it comes to being leaders, see, that we have the men. And in particular, when it comes in roles of Avedis Hashem, when it comes to serve Hashem, and especially be leaders. The truth of the matter is, this is not at all true, according to what we see from the Torah in many, many, many places. This example, in the same parasha, Vayakel, at the beginning, towards the beginning of the parsha, it states, this is on Posuk Lamed, Perik Lamed Hei Posukhov Zayin, it states, Anesim Heviu Es Avne HaShoham Ves Avne HaMiluim La'efed V'lacheshim. The Nesim, who were the Nesim? The Nesim were the leaders of Israel. Every Shevet, every tribe had a Nosi. The Nosi was the king of that particular tribe. So they were the greatest men in Israel. Their name is written without a letter. It's supposed to have a Yud in it. Nosi. Nun, Sin, Yud, Aleph. The Yud is missing. And it states that they brought the Avnei Shehem, Avnei Meluim, they brought the precious stones for the outer gown of the Kohen and for his breastplate. And the Rashi tells us, he brings a Medrash. He says, why is it here that the Nesim, leaders of Israel, they brought their contributions last? They're the last ones to be mentioned. And later on, when it came to dedicating the altar after the Mishkan was erected, they went first. Because they said, let everyone bring, and what's lacking, we will bring. And it came out that nothing was lacking. This is all that was left for them to bring. Therefore, they didn't want the same thing to happen when it came to the Chanukas HaMizbeach, the dedication of the Mizbeach of the altar. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't happy with that, what they did. He was not happy that they stood on the sidelines. And they said, let everyone bring what is needed and we will bring what is left to be brought. And he said, Lefishin is Atzlu, that this was an Atzlus, an Isatzlus. This was a slowness in reacting to the call of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, tell all of the people to bring. And this was an Israshlus, it was a slowness, it was a sluggishness, it was a heaviness. And he castigated them. And because of that, he took the Yud out of their name. Yud always represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wrote Nesim without the Yud. Because they were leaders, and leaders are supposed to be in the front, not in the back. They should have brought first in order to lead the people and to show the people, to give them a role model, not to stand back and say, let the people lead, like our governments of today, let the people lead and we will follow them. That's not leaders. Now, it's interesting because in the same parsha of the women, you have this with the men. The leaders, who were the appointed leaders of every shevet, they did not fulfill their role of leadership. While when it came to the women, it states that the women came in such great numbers with their mirrors that it, and to the tent of Moshe, that the Torah describes this as sovos, great hosts came, all of them, demanding that these mirrors should be used and taken. And then we see further. They evidently saw what Moshe and the Zakenim and his elders and his Bezdin did not see. Because Moshe said, Ma elu la amares ha elu. Malochem. What do these copper mirrors have to do with the Mishkan? And he was Moas behem. He despised them. And I'm sure he had the agreement of all of his Zakenim, his advisors and elders. And the women evidently saw differently. Because had they seen this, they wouldn't have bothered bringing these. They were not fools. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kablu, Kabel mehem. Sheheim chavivin olai min akol. He says, I see the way the women see. These are more important than all of the other donations and contributions, the gold and the silver. And not only through this did they establish the fountain, the Ki of Ekanoi, which was the source of Kedusha, of sanctity of the Kahanim, forever, but it was their same initiative that they did even more, which the mirrors represented, that they brought up a generation in Klal Yisrael that was both of the quantity and quality, even against the decree of Parai. And even though their husbands themselves were not able to do this, because they were being broken by the labor and the slavery, and Bishus Anoshim Tzidkoniyais, Nigola Esedom Mitzrayim, it was through this merit and their leadership that this generation went out of Egypt. Now here we're not speaking about unimportant things. We could not be speaking about more important things. Because this fashioned history forever. The Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, is the greatest single event that took place in the history of Klal Yisrael. Umaskirin Yetzias Mitzrayim b'chol yom, and we are obligated to make mention of the Exodus every day of our lives. And this was through the initiative and the leadership of the women. See, here we have a very blatant example of that. Now we have many, many examples of this in the Torah. We don't have time to go through many at all, but let us mention a few.
Some of these we've mentioned before. We have, for example, now again, we're talking about important things. When we mention important things in the Torah, we mean things that fashioned history. We have in Parshas Vayera, in Pasuk Kof Aleph, Perek Kof Aleph, Pasuk Tes, Vatere Sora es ben Hogra Mitzri Sashe Yolde Lavra Mitzachek. Sora gave birth to Yitzchok, and Abraham gave birth to a second child, Ishmael, which was through Hogar the Mitzri, the Egyptian maidservant. And Sora saw that Ishmael was a very, very bad influence on Yitzchok. He was teaching him all kind of averus chamuras, very severe averus. And she said to Abraham, chase out the maidservant and her son, because he will not inherit. This son of the Shifcha will not inherit together with my son Yitzchok. And Abraham was very upset over this. Rashi says he was very upset to hear that Yishmael was doing this. But Pirkei the Reb Lezer says that he was very upset to chase out his own son Yishmael. And Abraham refused to do it, until Hashem came to him and he said, don't worry. Whatever Sora tells you, listen to her, because she had prophecy which was greater than yours. And your nation that I promised will be the blessed nation of the entire world will not go through Yishmael, it will go through Yitzchok. Now this was Sora's initiative, and this was Sora's intervention. And this fashioned history, the history of Yisrael and the history of the world forever, where she stood up and she demanded that Yishmael be separated from Yitzchok, and that the brachas of the blessed nation will go through Yitzchok. And she saw what Abraham did not see. Mikan, from here we learn that Avraham tofel l'Sora ben Ivyos. Sora was greater in prophecy than Avraham. And here we're talking about things that there could not be more important in the world. Another example with Sora. When Moshe came, Moshe ran away. And he came to the well by Yisro, and he saved the daughters of Yisro, and he chased away the shepherds that were harassing them, and he brought up water from the well very quickly to give water to all of their sheep, because he had the brocha that when he would come near the waters would rise up by themselves. So they came home very quickly that day, and Yisro asked, why so quickly today? And they said that Ish Mitzri Hitzilonim, there was an Egyptian at the well who saved us. And they told Yisro, their father, the story. And when he heard that the waters came up to meet him, and then also he heard that Tznius, the great modesty of Moshe, because he didn't come to collect his reward. He saved Yisro's 7 daughters. He should have come to demand something for them. He didn't even come around. So he said, Ayo, where is that person? And he used the same word. The Yalkut Shmoni tells us that the angels used in regards to Sora, Aye Sora Istecho. Where is Sora, your wife? When they asked Avraham, the same word, Aye, Ayo. And he said,
is this person from the seed, could he be from the seed of Sorah? Shekola Ola Mizborech Bishfil Eisei Zera. That the whole world is blessed because of that seed. He had understood that Moshe must be from the seed of Sorah. Is it possible that he's from the seed of Sorah? Shekola Ola Mizborech Bishfil Eisei Zera. That the whole world was blessed because of this seed. Now he didn't say the seed of Abraham, he said the seed of Sorah. That bracha came from Sorah. This bracha when he saw in her, in Moshe. And he said, the whole world became blessed because of this seed. Another such case with Sorah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed Sora's name, her name was Sarai. It had Shin Reish Yud, a Yud at the end. And he said, I'm going to call her now Sora, not Sarai. Sarai means my queen. She will no longer be your queen. She'll be queen over the entire world. So the question came up, well, what will be with the Yud? You're taking a Yud, a letter Yud, away from her name. The Yud wasn't happy with that. What are you going to do with me? By Avraham, the change of name only meant adding a letter, but here you're taking one away. So Hashem said, I will take the Yud and I'll use you in another place. And he gave the Yud to Yeshua. Yehoshua, his name was Hoshea Binun. And later on, Moshe added a Yud to his name, because he wanted to give him a shush that he should be nitzel me'atzas amaraglim when the spies went into the land and they were meitzi dibas ha'oretz, they slandered the land. He didn't want Yeshua to fall into that trap, so he added a yud to Yeshua's name, and that yud came from Sorah. Now that yud was the last letter in the word Sorah, and it became the first letter in the word Yehoshua to tell us, the Gorai says, that Sefer Oves Tchilas Abonim, that where do the children derive their power from? They derive their power from the end of the forefathers. So where does Yeshua derive his power from? From Sorah. Now, what did that Yud do to Yeshua? First of all, through this, he was Nitzel Me'atzas Hamaraglim. He was saved from the council, the evil counsel of the spies. Because of that, Yeshua lived and didn't die in the desert. And because of that, he became the Melech Yisrael. He became the first king of Yisrael after the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. And because of that, he became our greatest warrior. Yeshua Shehin Cheles Oretz. He went and conquered Eretz Yisrael. Where did he derive his power from? It was the influence of Sorah. And that's why the letter of her name was used at the beginning of his name. It was her influence. We're talking about important things here. Becoming the king of Israel to lead them in and conquer the land of Israel. Another example with Sorah. Purim is coming in not too long of a time. And the Medrash tells us that there was an analogy between Esther and Sorah. What is the analogy? It states that Sorah lived Kuvchov Zayin Shonam, 127 years. And it states that Esther reigned over 127 Medinas. She reigned over 127 provinces when she became the queen to Ahasuerus. Now, besides being 127 provinces, that would be something today. A king that would rule, a government that would rule over 127 lands. Besides being that, the Gemara tells us that was the whole world. That was the whole world, Misefe Elamatsefe. So Esther became a queen over the entire world. Ahasuerus was one of the very, very few kings that reigned over the entire world. Now, to become such a queen, you have to have a schus. It doesn't just come out of the hat. Where was that schus? That came from Sorah. the Medrash alludes to. And that was the analogy between the two. Her influence was so great in the building of Israel that it gave the power to Yeshua to conquer the land and the power of Esther to rule over the entire world. If we take Esther, Esther also did something that was quite great. It was through Esther that the miracle of Purim came about. The miracle of Purim was not just another miracle. Actually, if I recall correctly, I think that's what we gave the shiur on last year for Purim. Because the sages tell us that even though Kol HaMeyadais will become Betelim, even though all of the Amtavim might be forgotten one day, but Zichrom LeYosef Mizaron, Purim will never become forgotten. Will never. Yeshemimach Yemaki Purim. Others say also Yom Kippur will never be forgotten. Now, what was so unique about Purim? So the Maral explains, because never in the history of the Jews was there a decree, an imminent danger and decree on every individual Jew for Hariga to be put to death, heaven forbid. There were many times when we suffered exiles. We suffered the Babylonian exile, we suffered the Roman exile. There were many times when we suffered slavery. It was the Egyptian slavery. There were many times when we suffered persecution. We suffered even the Holocaust. But there was never a time in the history of the world where there was a death penalty placed on the head of every Jew in the world. And that was the case of Purim, because Ahasuerus had sovereignty over the entire world. And he conspired with Haman, Lahashmid, Lahareg, Lahabed, Eskola Yehudim, that every Jew should be put to death. Taf and Noshim, women and children, men and old men. This was the only time in history. And that's why the miracle was so great, that it was in Hapech, it was just overturned. Now who was instrumental in that? It was Mordechai and Esther. And we shouldn't think that Esther merely, you know, from this story it seems very simple. She went to the king and she invited the king and Haman to a few parties and they had a few drinks and finished. It wasn't like that. Not at all. Because Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon, who was Echocha Mikol Odom, he was the wisest of all men, he wrote on Esther, Chochmas Noshim Bonso Beso. It was the wisdom. Now, King Solomon is saying that. See? It was the wisdom of Esther which built the house of Israel. Chochmas Noshim Bonso Beso. That's what he wrote in Sefer Mishlei, Perek Tes, Posuk Aleph. The wisdom, again, if I say it's the wisdom is one thing, King Solomon says it's the wisdom. It was the wisdom of Esther that saved Klal Yisrael. That was an enormous maneuver that she manipulated against Ahasuerus and Haman, who were the two greatest enemies that Klal Yisrael had. And this was done through Esther. Now here we're seeing again, we're not talking about unimportant things. We're talking about things that are very, very important. Another example of Rivka. In the beginning of Parshas told us, it states, Posuk Chof, it states that Rivka was the daughter of Bisuel from Padan Aram, and the sister of Lavan. Rashi tells us, what does the Torah tell us so much about Rivka for? Because she was the daughter of Bisuel, who was a Rosha. She was the daughter of a Rosha. She came from Padan Aram, that was a place full of Roshoim, idolaters. And she was the sister to Lavan, who also was a Rosha. So therefore, her background was nothing. She was born to a Rosha, she was brought up in an evil place, and her brother was a great Rosha. Still, she emerged to become one of the most righteous women in the history of the world, and she also refashioned history forever. How did she do this? And she was greater than Yitzchok in this area. For example, when she was having difficulty with her pregnancy, she was carrying Yaakov and Esav, Atelech Lidresh Es Hashem, and she went to ask from Hashem what's happening. Vayema Hashem lo, Hashem said to her, in the Chizkuni, one of the Rishonim says, lo v'leile, the prophecy came to her and not to Yitzchok, it was revealed to her and not to Yitzchok. And in this prophecy was that Virav Yavet Soir, in the end of days, the older one shall become enslaved to the younger one. The younger one will conquer, which was Yaakov. So this prophecy that in the end of days Yaakov will rule over Esav ultimately, that was a prophecy by Yema Hashem Lo given to her and not to Yitzchok. Now, who was Yitzchok? Yitzchok was known as the Ole Tmima. He was the one who came closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than any other living man, because he offered himself for a sacrifice. And yet, Rivka saw what he was not able to see. And therefore it states, Vayehav Yitzchok es Esav. Yitzchok loved Esav. Rivka ohevet es Yaakov, but Rivka loved Yaakov. And then it states, she said, "Ba'ato b'ni shma b'keli." She intervened. She used an enormous initiative to go against the will of Yitzchok and to undermine his plans. This is how desperate she was. That Yitzchok was going to give the brachas. The brachas were the most precious things we had. The Vilna Gaon says that if these brachas were given to Esav, Klal Yisrael would have been ended. These were the brachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Abraham. And when she was going to give the brachas to Yitzchok, to Esav, when Yitzchok was to give Esav, she went and she intervened. And she knew that she couldn't convince Yitzchok otherwise, so she went underground. And she said, "Va'ato b'ni shma b'keili, come and listen to me. La'asher ani metzava ischo. I know you're not going to agree with what I'm saying, but you'll do what I say, what I'm going to tell you to do." And she made the whole plan there, how Yaakov will take the brachas away from Esav. Now, she used enormous initiative and ingenuity, leadership, and for something important, this refashioned the whole world. The whole world was refashioned because of this. It's because of this that Yaakov became the father of Israel. Had it gone to Esav, it would have been Churban. There would have been total destruction in the world. And there are many, many examples that we have. Now, when we speak, though, we can't go into more examples at this point because time doesn't allow it. But when we speak of this, we are referring, and we say that we see women have enormous scope, and many times even greater scope than men, when it comes to roles of leadership or initiative or doing important things in Avedas Hashem, in serving or bringing the world closer to Hashem. Now, we're referring, though, in their ways, there are masculine traits and qualities, and there are feminine traits and qualities. Male and female are not the same. And we find that men have ways of doing things and women have ways of doing things. Not necessarily the same ways. They don't have to be the same ways. In many of the examples we cited, generally the men's roles of leadership were more overtly high profile. The women's roles of leadership, of influence, of forming history, was more covertly or low profile. It's interesting because today many women feel they want to do something important, like the men, so-called important, and they feel that the only way they can do this is to become a chief executive officer of a big public company or a prime minister. One person told me, this person is an individual who's very astute, and he played a big role in business, big business, and also a big role in civic activities. And he said that society lacks dearly women's influence. Society of today. Actually, you can give thought to this. Today the world is suffering, for example, from militancy. The whole world is at war with each other, one war after the other. In the area of foreign relations. If you take in the area of domestic relations, crime over the whole world has become the number one problem. South Africa, we're not behind the rest of the world in this at all. The fact is, we got enough here that we can help out other countries with some of our crime also. And in this crime is enormous violence. Violent crime. If you ever study the statistics, you'll find out that about 99% of this violent crime is committed by men, not by women. Very seldom will you find women involved in violent crime. Very seldom will you find women involved in planning wars that are going on. You see, men are militant, women are not. This individual was saying that if there would be more women influence in society, maybe less would be spent on foreign defense and more would be spent on other programs, on social needs, education, medicine, and so forth. At any rate, when he told me this, I asked him, I said, but today, all right, 50 years ago you didn't find women in key positions. Today you find women heading big companies, you find women in government, you find women in all of the professions, the lawyers today, doctors today, what have you. You know what he answered me? It's a man of a lot of experience. He said, I'm speaking of women qualities. He says, those women who are in those positions, they are not emanating women qualities. They are merely emulating and copying the men. They become chief executive of big companies. They do exactly what the men would do in those positions. They become prime ministers. They do exactly what men do in those positions. They're not using their innate qualities, their inherent qualities, but rather they are duplicating what men do in those positions. They used to call Margaret Thatcher the Iron Lady. So, what we're referring to here is that this, to say that when it comes to doing important things, and when it comes to making decisions or leading or whatever it might be, that's for the men. But women cannot, and especially when it comes to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is totally false from the eyes of the Torah, because we have example after example after example where the women played enormous roles in guiding Klal Yisrael and in fashioning the history of Klal Yisrael and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, except we are referring, though, that each in their own way, the masculine in his way and the woman in her way. Not that the woman merely should become a carbon copy of men, because then, firstly, they do not have the masculine qualities, and secondly, then society loses the enormous feminine qualities that they have. Actually, with this, I'm able to understand a parsha in the Tanakh. We have a parsha in the Tanakh in Shoftim. I need a Shoftim. 1 minute. Can you give me Dalet? Perek Dalet. Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael la'asei sarah b'nei Hashem ve'eud meis. Klal Yisrael went off the track and they stopped doing mitzvahs Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed them to fall under the hands of the enemies. B'yad Yovin melech Kenan Hashem olech b'chotzer v'sar tzevo Sisro. They fell under the hands of one of the kings of Canaan, and his commander-in-chief was Sisro. And Klal Yisrael cried out to Hashem because Tisha Me'a Yisrechem Barzeloi, because Sisro had 900 iron chariots, and he afflicted Klal Yisrael Bechoska Esrim Shona, and for 20 years he was afflicting Klal Yisrael. Udevora Isha Nevi'a Eshes Lapidos, he shofte Esh Yisrael Ba'isahi. Devora, who was a prophetess, and she also was a judge. She was the judge of Israel at that time. Vatishlach vatikra levorok ben Avinoam. And she went and she called to Borok ben Avinoam. And she said, Haleitziva Hashem, I have a prophecy for you. That if you will go now, and you will go to Har Tavor, to the Mount Tavor, and you will take 10,000 men from Naphtali and from Zvulun, they were very swift and good soldiers, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will draw Sisro's army also to that place with all of his chariots. And there will be a great battle, and he will see that you will win the battle and will become potter, will become free of this sorrow. So Borak answers and he says, Vayim Elal Borak, Im telchi imi vahalochti, Bim lei selchi imi lei eleich. He says, he said to Devorah, if you will ride with me, I'll take the 10,000 men, but on a condition that you go with me. Then I'll go. But if you won't, then I won't go. Vatomer, so Devorah answered, Holoch eleich imoch. All right, I will go with you. Ephes, but, ki leisia tif'alticho al aderech asher ato holeich. But the glory of this victory will no longer be yours. If you'll go alone, then it'll be yours. But this way it will no longer be yours, ki biyad isha yimkor Hashem es Sisro. But rather Sisro, Hashem will see to it that Sisro will fall not by your sword, but by the hand of a woman. Vatokam Devorah vatelech im Borak keitsho. And Devorah got up, and she led the army together with Borak to Keitsho. And then the story goes on that he defeated the armies of Sisro, but Sisro ran away, and Sisro ran into an area where there was a woman there, and her name was Yoel. She was Ashes Hevera Keni, and she used a strategy to get Sisro to come into her tent. And then she fed him, she gave him wine, and she gave him cheese to make him tired, and he fell asleep. And then she took the Isara Ohel, she took the spike from the tent, Matosim Esamakeves Biyodo, and she took the hammer from the tent, and she came to him silently, and she stuck the spike into his temples, and she hammered it in to his head, and he died. Now, I always had a question here. told Devorah told Barak. He says, if you'll go yourself, then the great glory of the victory will be yours. But if not, if you insist that I go with you, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take that glory away and it will fall into the hands of a woman. Why? Because you're insisting that you'll be assisted by a woman. But either way, he was being assisted by a woman. Who was telling him to go? Who gave him the prophecy? Even if he would go himself, it wasn't his victory. For 20 years they were fighting against these people and they couldn't do anything. All of a sudden Devorah calls him and she says, come quickly. She summons him and she says, I have something very urgent to tell you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now's the time. And she told him exactly what he's supposed to do. She said, get 10,000 people immediately from Naphtali and from Zvulun and go exactly to that place, Har Tabor. And you go there now. And Sisera and his armies will be there now. And now's the time to fight against them. And you will succeed. So who's the commander-in-chief here? It was Devorah who was calling all the shots. So anyhow, the victory was coming through a woman. So why does she say, if you'll go alone, then that glory will belong to you, the victory will be yours. But if you insist that I go along, no, then Sisera will... Hashem will see to it that Sisera will fall into the hands of a woman. This is a question I had many, many years. The answer we can say very simple. Simply. The fact that Devorah was telling Barak exactly what to do, she wasn't stepping out of her role. That's a woman's role. Because the Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah, seven Nebiyos Yisrael, seven prophetesses were given to Klal Yisrael. Prophecy and this type of leadership is not a monopoly of men. Men. It numbers how many men prophets and how many women prophetesses. And it mentions this. And many of the examples that we brought with Sora and Rivka and so forth, these are these examples. So he was this victory, this strategy, and this plan, and this initiative that was coming through Devorah, that's a woman's role as much as a man's role. So no problem. But to go and to make war, that the Gemara says, Noshim, la b'neis milchoma nino, women are not warriors. They don't go out to war. They can plan the battle, but they don't go out to war. And that he was insisting Devorah should ride with him. He says, if you ride with me, now where was Barak? Barak was not in the back, he was in the front. If you ride with me in the front of the armies, in front of the 10,000 people, then I'll go. If not, I won't go. There he's asking a woman to lead in a man's role as a warrior. And that Devorah said, look, if you insist, then I have no other alternative. But you should know, then you're changing the roles. And if you insist that a woman will ride in front of the armies as a warrior, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see that Sisera will fall into the hands of a woman warrior, where she will also change her role. And we find that how Esther killed Haman, not with her hands, but Chochmas Noshim Bonsabeso, with her strategy and her wisdom, or her prayers to Hashem. Yoel, how did she kill Sisera? She killed Sisera with the weapons and the cruelty of the greatest soldier. She took a spike from the tent. She drugged him. She put the spike in his temple. She took a hammer and blasted it through. That's not a woman's... That's not the traditional role of the woman. That's what Devorah said. He says, this that I tell you what to do, that's in order. And you can listen to me. But if you're afraid to ride without me, In other words, you want a woman up front as the warrior, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see that it will be a woman warrior that will kill Sisera, and the glory will be hers and not yours. So from these examples that we gave, we see that Klal Yisrael gave the powers of influence, enormous influence, to both men and women, and the powers of initiative to both men and women, and the powers of leadership to both. And Klal Yisrael needs both. We see, had we lacked this, we would be in a very sad state. And the world needs both. The home needs both. Society needs both. The problem comes is when either the man or the woman do not exercise their powers, or one merely tries to become a carbon copy of the other, because each one has his or her own way in which they can exert this enormous initiative, these enormous forces. When they start changing roles, that's when you get a case of Baruch and Sisera and Yoel. But if they utilize their roles to the utmost of their potential, oh, then you get leaders like Devorah, like Sora, like Rivka, or like we have in this parsha, the Noshim Atzovos, the Noshim, the women that came to Moshe Rabbeinu with the copper mirrors, because it was in their schus that Klal Yisrael, they brought up a generation of the Yotze Mitzrayim, those that were to go out of Egypt, which was through their schus.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.